Nip it in the bud. Can you hear me? Okay. Nip it in the bud. Now when you hear that, you think of Barney Fife. Go ahead and before we roll the video, the scenes I put together are for three episodes. The farmer takes the wife, Andy's rich girlfriend, and One Punch Opie.
I tell you, this is just the beginning. Going around breaking street lamps. City property, mind you. Next thing you know, they'll be on motorcycles wearing them leather jackets and zooming around. They'll take over the whole town, a reign of terror.
Barney, these are just boys you're talking about. They're only about 8 years old.
Yeah, well, today's 8-year-olds are tomorrow's teenagers. I say this calls for action, and now, nip it in the bud. First sign of youngsters going wrong, you got to nip it in the bud.
I'm going to have a talk with them. Now, what more you want me to do?
Well, just don't mollycoddle.
I won't.
Nip it. You go read any book you want on the subject of child discipline, and you'll find that every one of them is in favor of bud nipping.
Take care of it.
Only one way to take care of it.
Nip it.
In the bud.
Now.
Brad?
Yeah. Yeah. Pretty big outfit. They
it
tell me...
It won't work.
What won't work?
You and Peg, that's what won't work. Andy, I hate to have to tell you this, but you're going to have to give her up. Forget about her. Nip it. Nip it in the bud.
What are you talking about?
You want me to spell it out for you, huh?
I don't know what happened there.
But each one is tempted when, by his own...
No, we're fine. We're fine. It's fine. Go ahead.
...own evil desire, he is dragged away and enticed. Then after desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is full grown, gives birth to death.
All right. Thank you. Sorry about that third video. I don't know what happened with the sound there. James 1:14-15. There's a progression. Sin starts with our evil desires. And if we entertain those thoughts and those desires, then it leads to death. You know, we all think of things that we want to nip in the bud. One thing I'd like to nip in the bud... You're going to mark me as an old bachelor if I say this, but after church, when there's kids running around in the sanctuary and banging on the instruments, I'd like to nip that in the bud. But now, I hope that's not all you remember from the sermon this morning. What about gossip? We need to nip that in the bud sometimes, don't we? Go ahead and do Proverbs 26:20, and then you can do the fire slide.
A fire goes out. Without gossip, a quarrel dies down.
All right, you see the three elements there. If you have fuel at the bottom and you have oxygen and environment for gossip and you have heat, if you remove one of those things, the fire is going to go out. The oxygen could be our environment where we really want to gossip. We want to really know that juicy morsel about somebody. Or we want to tell somebody that. Or we have the fuel. Maybe there are legitimate things that we want to gripe about. But if we don't get upset about it or get heated up or angry, then that puts that out. That helps. If we remove one of those, then... We can maybe squelch the problem of gossip. The world says that gossip is not a bad thing. According to Frank T. McAndrew, PhD, gossip is a social skill, not a character flaw. Those who can't do it well may end up on the outside looking in. That's from Psychology Today, January 24th, 2016. Makes you go, The Christian view, completely opposite. According to the Christian view, actual webpage, from Amanda Faust, October 13th, 2017, she says that it does four things. Gossip does four things. It dismantles bridges. It creates obstacles. It separates us from God. And it gives us negative attention. We get all kinds of attention if we think we have a juicy morsel to share. And sometimes gossip, you don't always see it. It's kind of festering underneath. It's April 17th, 2018. Flight 1380 takes off from LaGuardia in New York. 11:43 they take off. At 11:03, the left engine explodes. One of the 24 fan blades in the left engine disintegrates. The cowling, or that metal ring in front of the fan blades on the jet engine, disintegrates, throwing shrapnel into the fuselage at row 14. Jennifer Reardon was sitting in that seat right next to the window. She was seat-belted in, and yet the massive decompression sucked her out of the window. There were also seven others that were injured. Unfortunately, she lost her life. Now you say, how does this compare to gossip? Well, it started out small. Metal fatigue, and how the engine, you couldn't see it. It was under the surface, but unfortunately there was a catastrophe. Let's look at Matthew 12, 33 to 37.
Make a tree good, and its fruit will be good. Or make a tree bad, and its fruit will be bad. For a tree is recognized by its fruit. You brood of vipers, how can you who are evil say anything good? For out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. The good man brings good things out of the good stored up in him, and the evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in him. But I tell you that men will have to give an account on the day of judgment for every careless word they have spoken. For by your words you will be acquitted, and by your words you will be condemned.
I made those slides, so don't blame Donna. It's pretty serious, isn't it? Is there something this morning that you feel you need to nip in the bud? Maybe it is gossip. Maybe it is rumors. What about social media? I'm going to rock the boat a little bit or shake the tree. Can you live without your phone for an hour? Can you live without it for a day? Have you ever had to try that? If we would going to pick on Facebook a little bit, now I'm really in trouble. We would have never thought of sending a card to somebody in snail mail saying, I no longer want to be your friend. But somehow we can point and click and unfriend somebody. Or we have bullying. Or we have people sharing useless information that nobody needs to know. Does it consume your time? Is it controlling you, or are you controlling it? Are we doing things just so we can put it on Facebook? I don't know. Does it need to be nipped in the bud? In some people, maybe so. Maybe by now you want to nip this sermon in the bud. Or you may say, I have a bad attitude. Maybe people's bad attitudes need to be nipped in the bud. As I was upstairs doing video on the Sunday that we shared about Ivana, the Holy Spirit was pricking me because I'd been suffering from a bad attitude. I talked to certain people and I probably crossed that line with gossip. I don't know. I tried to make those things right since. Maybe the concerns were legitimate, but I let them consume me. I decided on that Sunday I want to be on the winning team, not the losing team. If I'm going to sit around and expect somebody to apologize for something they never knew they did to me, that ain't going to ever happen. So I need to move on. So maybe we have an attitude we need to adjust. I don't know. That's the Holy Spirit's tickling this morning. As you know, I like to have props. Got props out in the foyer. I feel like if you leave this place and the next week you don't remember what the sermon was about, I've failed my job. But there's also a little bit of selfish to the wanting to have props. I want it to if I'm going to spend the time to do this sermon, I want you to remember it. What are we going to be remembered for? If we had a table, if we had tables set up after everybody had a funeral and had pictures and things about the person, what would be on your table? Would it be, he was kind, he was generous, he was helpful, he was a mentor, he was a gossiper, he was a complainer, he was jealous, he was envious, he was dishonest? What would be on your table? Andy Griffith is remembered. He received the highest civilian medal, the Medal of Freedom, in his life for his contributions to the entertainment industry. He was inducted into the TV Academy of Arts. He has a parkway, part of in North Carolina, U.S. State Road, or U.S. 52, part of it is the Andy Griffith Parkway. We probably won't have statues or parkways for us, but what will we be remembered for? That's pretty sad if we can only remember Nip It in the Bud for Barney Fife. There's probably other things. Are we going to be remembered for something we've always said? Good or bad. It's November 14th, 1970. A Southern Airways flight 932 crashes in West Virginia. All 75 persons on board were killed. It was the Marshall football team from West Virginia. The head coach, many of the players, the athletic director, they were all killed. About 10 months after the tragedy, before the next season, they took buses and hauled all the new players out to the cemetery. They showed them why they were part of the team, because of the tragedy of the year before. The coach said, "Today, the funeral ends." They had to move on. They had to rebuild their team. It's a good movie, The Marshals. I don't want to say any more because I don't want to ruin it for you. But they rebuilt their team. They got a perspective of looking at the graveyard, why they were there, why they had to rebuild because of the tragedy. If you want to read more about it, it's in the South Bend Tribune, dated November 12, 2006. Is there things in our lives that we have to nip in the bud? Things in the past that we just can't bury them and walk away? Maybe there was a teacher that nagged you about something, told you you'd never do anything good in your life. You need to nip that in the bud because you can do something in your life. Are you ready for God's grace? Are you ready to accept that this morning if you haven't? Nip the fear in the bud. Nip your past in the bud. Some of you may have heard the story, and it was on the Iowa News about a month ago. Cody Matz. I don't know if that name rings a bell at all. He was accused of killing his grandparents. And the soundbite they had on the news was, at his sentencing hearing, according to KIM TV2, Channel 3, July 23rd, 2018, he said, "I realize hell is hot and the devil is mean." Hell is hot and the devil is mean. Well, he got part of it right, but Jesus offers us grace. The devil doesn't want us to do anything good. He wants to trap us and hinder us. He wants to play that tape over and over in our head that we're not good at anything. We need to nip that in the bud. The Marshall team moved on. No, it wasn't a Hollywood ending where they won a bunch of seasons right off the bat. It took time. And it takes time and hard work for us to mature. But we're on the winning team. We're on the winning side. As we look at John 20, when they went to the tomb that morning, the grave was empty. Amen. His wrappings were there, but he was gone. He's alive. Do we know that? Do we feel it? Do we believe it? Do we act like it? Jesus is alive. I'm going to read a quote here from Andy Griffith from Guidepost 2012. "Each of us faces pain Each of us faces pain. No two ways about it. But I firmly believe that in every situation, no matter how difficult, God extends grace greater than the hardship, and He strengthens and gives us peace of mind that can lead us to a place higher than where we were before." Amen. That's from Guidepost, July 3rd, 2012. What are we going to nip in the bud this morning? What are we going to be remembered for? Are we going to be remembered for accepting John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him shall not perish but have everlasting life"? Are we going to grab onto that and hold it and claim it. God's grace. Let's go with Revelation 21, 22 to 27, please.
I did not see a temple in the city, because the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are its temple. The city does not need the sun or the moon to shine on it, for the glory of God gives it light, and the Lamb is its lamp. The nations will walk by its light, and the kings of the earth will bring their splendor into it. On no day will its gates ever be shut, for there will be no night there. The glory and honor of the nations will be brought into it. Nothing impure will ever enter it, nor will anyone who does what is shameful or deceitful, but only those whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life.
All right. Is your name going to be written in that Book of Life? Have you made that decision? Have you claimed John 3:16? Have you claimed that the grave is empty? Are you ready to let the Holy Spirit impact your life and change other people's lives? I'm going to look at a video from Kim Meter. Go ahead and run that.
I don't know everything, but I know the Holy Spirit, and He does know everything. And so I'm learning how to just pray, listen, do what He says. And it's such a crazy, amazing adventure. Oh, my word! And so I'm learning to just invite Him in to every decision. I've lived so much of my life on autopilot. I know how to buy groceries. I know how to run a ranch. I know how to get fuel. I know how to do all these things. Oh, wait, here's a spiritual part. God, I better pray. Mm-hmm. And the Lord's letting me know, honey, every minute that you're breathing, that's the spiritual part. I want you to invite me into every breath that it would give me worship and praise. And so the other day, I said, Lord, what do you want me to say? There's so much I could say right now. So the other day I was teaching at a women's conference, and I was in between classes surrounded by a group of women, and this woman runs up and reaches over everybody and hands me a book. And as I take the book, she says, my friend doesn't think she can come. Can you sign her book? And the Holy Spirit highlighted her. And so as I started to write, I was just stopped. And my prayer was nothing more than those single, you know, verse Peter prayers, Lord, what do you want? And when I started to write, Michael, it was the worst greeting card, gagatrocious, are you serious, Lord, poem. Oh, my word. I'm writing to a woman I've never met. Yeah. I love you more than all the stars in the sky. I love you more than all the sand in the sea. All this love together, it's the love we share, you and me. God bless you, love, Kim. Here's some verses to encourage you.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh, it was horrible. And I hand it to the lady, she grabs it, and I'm like, I can still rip that page out. And I let it go, and she dashes away. And conference ended, huge long line of women. I can see a woman at the end of the line, and she's wrecked, crying, shaking, full body tremors. I point at her, I see you, don't go. And it took me an hour to get through this line. We're coming, we're coming, we're coming. She walks up in front of me, she was the last woman in line, and she's shaking like this. And finally, I could see then she was holding a book.
Yeah.
It, all she can do is open the cover and point, and it's the gagatrocious poem book. And my first thought was, yes, it really was that bad. And she starts pointing, and she's trying to talk, and she's gagging and sobbing and just flooding with tears and trembling. And finally, she just says, how did you know? How did you know, Kim? You could not know this.
Yeah.
This is what my mom prayed over me every night when I was a little girl. Wow. And my mom just died, and I'm so lost without her. And I've been begging Jesus, if you're real and you see my pain, will you tell me in a way that I know that it's you? And now I know that Jesus is real and that He sees me and that Jesus loves me and I can put my trust in Him. Now I know. Now I know. Michael, there's no education, certification, qualification, or graduation on the planet that can do that. That only the Holy Spirit can do that. So much of my life, I've quenched Him by trying to do what made sense to me. and that wasn't going to be embarrassing for me. And as I'm learning to follow him, he's transforming not only my life, but the lives of all those around me as I learn how to jump in that river and go where he wants to go.
Amen. The power of the Holy Spirit. What are we going to nip this morning? Is there something we need to nip in the bud? What are we going to be remembered for? Is your name going to be written in the book of life? How are you going to allow the Holy Spirit to work in your life this week, empowering other people? How are we going to influence those people we rub shoulders with? Let us pray. Dear Lord, thank you for your grace. Thank you that the tomb was empty. You rose. Be with those people here today, this morning, that maybe they got a prickling or a prompting to nip something in the bud. Maybe they needed some encouragement that you are alive, that you care for them. You know their situations. Grant them grace. Surround them. Cover them. May you get all the glory. Thank you for your abundant grace. In Jesus' name, amen. We're going to sing Jesus Loves Me, and then Steve's going to close the service.